I want to preach a message that I'm taking out of Isaiah chapter 43. And as we read Isaiah 43, it's not an extensive text for what I want to preach to you, the thought that I have in mind, but it is a good foundational text. Because in this text, it speaks about the wilderness and the wasteland, which in essence is the desert. So in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 19, as we take text there, let's read what the word of the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army, and reinforcements together, and they there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like the wicked. What Isaiah is referencing there is the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt as they were brought across the Red Sea on dry land. Common occurrence in the Old Testament, that reminder. Verse 18. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. You see, Isaiah is speaking to a people that had been in Egypt for generations. Even though they were Israelites, they had been in Egypt. And now in Egypt, they have become Egyptianized. You know, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. The Bible says, come ye out from among the world. Most says holiness people. You can quote that. Come ye out from among the world, be ye a separate people, says the Lord. And for a long time, we tried to seclude ourselves and put ourselves in the bubble, or a bubble. And we found out that we really couldn't do that. There's really no possible way. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. Our thoughts are different in the world. Our ways should be different than that of the world. But yet, as we live in a culture, as we live in a society, our culture is much different here in the Western Hemisphere than it is in other parts of the world. Trust me, I've been there. I know, you know, it's just very different. And I'm not saying that they're wrong and we're right. And I'm not saying that we're wrong and they're right. It's just different. Generations of Israelites had been in Egypt and they had become Egyptianized. But now the prophet, the Lord is speaking through the prophet and the Lord is speaking to them and he's saying, forget those former things that are, they're now behind you. Forget about them. Put them away. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Dwell actually means to reside. Now there, we tend to think about more along the lines of thinking, and certainly that is applicable here. But he says, do not dwell or do not reside on the past. And he explains why. I love it when God explains why. He says, see, I am doing a new thing. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I want to preach to you with the thought in mind, don't let the desert get you down. Now I could have made us very easily made a spelling error, and I could have put, don't let the desert get you down. I had a big old piece of coconut cream pie the other day when we went on our senior ministry trip, and I felt convicted. But many of y'all know that I've been doing this points thing, and it's been successful, and I've lost a considerable amount of weight. But my piece of coconut cream pie, that was 3 days worth of points in one piece of pie. And I felt convicted. Praise God, conviction tasted good. says, don't let the desert get you down, but don't let the desert get you down. Have any of you all ever visited the desert? Last year, Sarah and I had the opportunity to travel out west a little ways, and we toured part of Arizona, and it was beautiful, it was unique, it was hot, and it was dry, and it was barren in many ways. Are you aware that one third of the earth's dry land, the land that is not covered by water, you realize that one third of the earth's dry land is actually desert? Wow. That blew my mind. I didn't realize it was that much. The desert is extremely barren. I think we all know that. Sarah and I are regular. We watch Bonanza on a regular basis. Okay? We watch The Rifleman on a regular basis. I still love the Shoot 'Em Ups. And I still love Matt Dillon. And I still love Festus, and I still love, and those of you that are too young to know what that's about, log in to, is it Get TV? Is that what it's on? Get TV, and you can watch all of these things on Get TV. I love it. I still love the Western. And you see these guys that know they're crossing the desert, and they only go out with a little canteen that looks about this big around and that thick, and that's supposed to be enough water to last them 2 weeks. Come on now, let's use our heads a little bit. The desert is a beautiful place. The cacti, I guess I should say, are beautiful. And the rocks, as we were in Arizona last year, and one place we visited was called Sedona, and the painted hills in the early morning and the late evening when the sun was shining across the hills, and they were just almost glowing with reds and yellows and purples and different colors. The desert is a beautiful place, but yet it's barren. While there are parts of the deserts that are inhabited in the sense that it's large and undeveloped, it's not really sought after property. There's lots of desert land that will never probably be bought, not at least in our lifetime. There's desert land that will never be sold. Now, Las Vegas is right in the middle of the desert, and it's a big resort city, and gambling, and shows, and lots of food, and expensive hotel rooms. But it's a very unique spot, but by and large, the desert is an occupied place. The desert's a nice place to visit, but quite frankly, I wouldn't want to live there. I found it interesting that the Israelites, they wandered through the desert for 40 years. 40 years they wandered through the desert, and they weren't really on what one would consider necessarily a one-way trek, because it's evident geographically that they had, and biblically, that they just walked in circles for 40 years. They walked through their same trek many times, walking in circles through the desert. But I also find it amazing when I study the New Testament that Jesus went into the desert, and there, Jesus went into the desert and remained there 40 days, and that's where he fasted, and that's where he sought the face of the Lord leading up until the last years of his earthly ministry, in the sense of his bodily ministry, that leading up to the crucifixion. So it's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to be there, but yet God is evident in Scripture that God does amazing things in desert places. We find that John the Baptist lived in the desert. We find out that Paul went into the desert and lived there 3 years, actually, following his conversion. Paul was in the desert area as the Lord was preparing him in ministry. And that's where Paul received the instruction of the Holy Spirit. It was in the desert place. Of course, most all of the Middle East is desert anyway. We all find ourselves stranded in the desert from time to time. We find ourselves from time to time that God is taking us into the desert. Sometimes we want to blame it on the devil. Well, the devil took me into the desert and just left me there. Sometimes it's God taking us into those desert places, because it's there that he develops us. It's there that he brings us into a new place. But this morning, the thought, don't let the desert get you down. Don't be upset because you have found yourself in the desert. Everything is barren and dry in the desert. The sun scorches our faces. Our feet may be blistered from the burning sand. Internally, we may be dying of thirst. But let's be honest. The desert is still a beautiful place to be. It's just not always fun when we're there. It's a beautiful place to be, but it's not always fun. Last year, Sarah and I went to up into, was that Red Rock Canyon? Red Rock Canyon that we went into. And she had already broken her foot at that time. She broke her foot on day two of our Arizona trip. So I leave her in the car with air conditioning running, stereo going, and I took me a hike. And I was on this hike on this trail up to Red Rock Canyon, and I saw a sign. It said, if you have depleted more than half of your water at this point, please return to your vehicle. I didn't even have any water with me when I started. I'm like, uh-oh. There's a reason I can't grow hair. My head's hard. I can grow hair, actually. I grow hair very well. Most of the time it just doesn't come out my head. It comes out my ears and nose. That's just the age that I'm at. But yet the desert was beautiful and it was pretty, but man, it was hot and it was dry, and thank God we had water in the car. But we find ourselves stranded in the desert, and we'll ask ourselves the question, how did we get here? Often how did I get to this place in life that I'm in right now? Well, I've got news for you this morning. It's not necessarily all that important of how you got to where you're at right now. Maybe God brought you to this place, but maybe He didn't. Maybe it's self-inflicted that you're where you're at right now. Maybe it is the devil's fault. But regardless of the fact, you're there in that dry, barren place, sun scorching your face, your feet are blistered from the burning sand, you're dying of thirst, but yet you're in a beautiful place when you're in the desert. Because the desert is a transformational place. The desert is a transformational place. It's a place that we're changed. It's a place absence of the things that we think we need to sustain us. There's little to be found in the surroundings of the desert. And you may be in a place in your life right now where there's little to be found in support. You seemingly you don't have the friends that you think you need right now. You don't have the finances that you think you need right now. You don't have the emotional fortitude that you think you need right now. But yet, so you're in a desert place, but yet in this desert place where your face is burning from the sun, your feet are burning from the sand, your throat is parched, you're dried out, but yet in this desert place where it seems like all of your resources are non-existent, let me tell you something, it's a beautiful place because God is just as much God. We used to sing that song, God of the Mountain, and God of the valley. But let me tell you something. He's God in the desert as well. He's God in the dry places of our life. He is dry in the desert wherein we find beauty, even though there may be pain. So there's great hope there. It's only when our resources become limited that we really come to the greatest understanding of who God is and what His supply is. Yeah, and as long as you got some money in the bank, as long as you got some food in the refrigerator, as long as you've got some gas in the gas tank, so to speak, as long as all of those things are there, I think you and I probably fail to realize what a great resource that God is for us in our life. We just sang that song. How great is our God? He's the name above all names. He's greatly to be praised. But do we really realize what a resource and what God is and what God does for us in our life, we probably don't realize that until everything else is gone, everything is expired, and now we're in the desert place and our canteen has got the last drop of water in it, or maybe it's already, you've already absorbed it and it's turned into nothing but dust. And we don't have anything to eat, and the sun's burning our face, the sand's burning our feet, our throats are dry and our parts. It's then that we recognize and we realize that God is the supply that we need in the desert place. Now, these Israelites have been brought out of Egypt. And we know, if you study Scripture, most of y'all have heard this, that they even grumbled and complained while they were walking around in the desert. They said, well, we had better than this when we were back in Egypt, laboring over the flesh pots. We had everything we need. But I want you to know that God demonstrated them and did show them that the desert doesn't have to get you down. The desert is a place of growth. The desert is a place of nurturing. So I want to share with you three lessons that can be learned in a trip to the desert. The first lesson I want to share with you is the lesson of sustenance. I want you to think about, again, being in a place and nothing to turn to. You're out of water. You're out of resources. But suddenly, if you're an Israelite, suddenly God speaks to Moses and he says to him, I will bring you water out of that rock. Man, that's a rock. That rock, listen, in the desert, you can go up and lay your hands on the rocks. The rocks themselves are hot, like hot coals from the heat of the sun. But God says, even out of that rock, I'm going to provide for you the water that you needed. He provided for these Israelites an abiding cloud, a presence for the Israelites. It was a shadow by day, and it provided fire and even warmth for them by night. God provided when they had nothing to eat and they were griping and complaining, we're out of food, we're going to die, we're starving to death, we have no French coconut pie, we have no ham biscuits, we don't even have pinto beans and taters and cornbread, we're going to die, we have nothing to eat. God allowed food to fall from heaven. And he said, I'll give it to you brand new, fresh, every single day, except for the Sabbath day. He said, I'll provide for you in every way. He gave them clothes that did not wear out in 40 years. He gave them shoes that did not, apparently they didn't outgrow them, nor did they wear those shoes out. Ladies, wouldn't that be a terrible thing to have to wear the same pair of shoes for 40 years? But God was making provision. God did make provision in the desert place. But while they were walking in circles in that desert, God was preparing them and doing a work in the nation of Israel and in the life of those that were following Him, His people. But in that desert place, they were never left alone. In that desert place, He was their sustenance. His name is Jireh. That's my favorite name of God. You all know that by now. His name is Jireh, the God that will provide. Jehovah Jireh was making a way in the heat of the sun, with the scorched faces, with the burning feet, and the parched throats. God was making a way where there wasn't a way. He was sustenance in the desert. The second thing that happened in that desert was that workout I've already mentioned, and it's that work of transformation. Isaiah prophesied in the scriptures that we took text with, and he said, a new thing is happening right now. Now, let me tell you something. They did not see it in that moment. I guarantee you, I promise you, if they had seen it, they wouldn't have grumbled, nor would they have complained. But it was in that desert place when everything was parched, everything was dry, their face was burning, their feet was burning, their throats was dry. God says, I'm doing a new thing in you right now. I'm doing a new thing in you. He said, I'm changing some things. New means it's something that you've not experienced before. Okay? If God does something, if He does something, if we are to do something that we did 20 years ago or whatever, it's not really anything new. But it's when I've done something that I've never done before, or something occurs that it's never occurred before, that is when it is new. God says, I'm doing a new thing. He said, I'm doing something in you right now that's never been done before. Something is happening to you. But yeah, God, my face is burning. My feet are burning. My throat is parched. I'm dying here in the desert. But I've already given you water from a rock, and I'll give you a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And I've given you manna from out of the heavens. And eventually He's going to give them quail. He's going to improve their diet. But the truth of the matter is, they're not seeing what God is doing in their lives. And I almost can guarantee you, there are times in my life and in your life, and you may be in that time season right now, where you don't realize what God is doing in your life. I spoke with somebody this week, and they were talking about a trial of life that they came through, that they've been going through and are still going through, and it'll probably last the duration of their lifetime. But they say, I realize through all that I'm going through that God is growing me, and God is increasing me, and God is maturing me and nurturing me and bringing me into an area that I've never found before. You see, these people were finding a new way of living in the desert. Most of them only knew Egyptian life. They had been Egyptianized in Egypt, but now they're experiencing a new way of living that they've never experienced before. Listen, when we enter into the realm of serving the Lord, we enter into what we deem and call Christianity. We're walking into an area that we've never been before. And it may be the land of milk and honey, and it may have, you know, we may tiptoe through those tulips that I mentioned last week. We may walk through the valley where the daffodils are growing, and the lily of the field is, and the little birds of the air are floating around, and the butterflies are going here and there. But there's also going to be seasons of desert places that we will have to walk in as followers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Followers of Jesus Christ, we will walk in desert places, and it's in those desert places that we will grow and we will increase. We will learn a new way of living when we walk in the desert. And a new appetite is developed in the desert as they were fed the manna from heaven. Now, manna, if you read the scripture, what manna means is, what is it? That's what manna means. What is it? They had never seen anything like it before in their life. Now, this guy right back here, this man right here, hold up your hand. This man right here, he will eat anything. I've seen him. I've seen him pick up stuff on the missions field and just eat it. Green bologna. He'll eat it. He said stay in the hotel sick one or two days on that one trip, but he ate it. My wife's a little finicky about eating. I can tell you what, she's going to order pretty much where we go in anywhere. She's not going to try anything different. She don't like nothing new. I said, how do you... She had never eaten Brussels sprouts when she met me. But I delivered her. She loves my Brussels sprouts. And now we're working towards asparagus. Okay. You got to try a new thing. These people... God says, I don't give you food from heaven, and He drops manna. What is it? Manna. What is it from heaven? Now, my pastor, Richard Kingery, my pastor said he knew what manna was. He said it was pinto beans. I don't believe that because it says it was white like a coriander seed. But the reality of it is they had never seen it before. But they had to trust God that what I'm giving you while you're in your desert place, it's brand new. It's unlike anything that you've ever consumed before. It's not going to taste like anything you've ever tasted before. But you need to try it because I'm giving it to you in this season that you're in. And you know, sometimes we get so stuck in our ways and so stuck in our doings and so stuck in our and with our appetites and our menus that we won't try anything in the natural life, but we get that way in the spiritual life. God says, I got you in this desert place. I'm ready to do something new. I'm ready to give you some new food. I'm ready to give you some manna from heaven. And we will shut our mouth up tight as can be and say, no, God, I don't want what you get. I'd rather die. I'd rather starve here in the desert than I would eat what you're giving me now. But thank God those Israelites received what the Lord provided in the season, and they consumed the manna from heaven, and it sustained them during their years in the desert. So an appetite was developed. I've wondered at times when the manna ceased, and the manna did cease at the end of the wilderness experience, the manna ceased. I wonder if any of those Israelites in the next few years down the road when they were eating quail, I wonder if any of them says, boy, what I would give for a big old bowl of manna right now. Because the Lord had given them and they had become accustomed to it, but then He changed their diet once again. It's been said that it was easy for God to get Israel out of Egypt, but He had to have the desert to get the Egypt out of Israel. Can I say that again? It's been said that it was easy for God, even though it was parting of the Red Sea, it was easy for God to get Israel out of Egypt, but He needed the desert to get Egypt out of Israel. You know, sometimes God needs, He uses the desert to get us out of our Egypt. Hello? Sometimes we have desert places to change us. Sometimes it takes the desert places to transform us. But even when God's transforming us, He's still sustaining us. I got to move on. Lord, I thought I was going to finish early. Now here I am. The third thing is, shut up, Charlie. Me and Charlie have this love-hate relationship. I love him and he hates me. No, I'm just kidding. Charlie's good to me. The third thing is energization. Energizing. Like the little pink bunny. You see, before the prophet said there will be streams in the wasteland. Streams. Refreshing and renewing in the wasteland. In the desert. I find in the New Testament it says that out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Energized water. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. Even when we've been through the desert, even when we've been living in the desert for a good while, maybe 40 years, and even when we've had to eat manna and not been eating steak, and whatever else may have come our way, out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. Water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And out of us is flowing the Holy Spirit. Out of us is flowing water. The Holy Spirit at work in our lives. You see, I thought about that song, and I started to send Pam a message and ask her to sing it, but I thought, no, I just allow them to determine what the Holy Spirit would have them to sing. But I thought about that song that we do sing quite often, Waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. You see, the Waymaker was at work in the desert energizing them because in the wasteland of the desert, there was springs of living water coming up. There was streams of living water pouring out. Water was gushing out of the rock. You see, in the desert places, there the provision of God, the Spirit of God is still working and still alive in the desert places. Now, I've walked through places in my life over these years. And there's been places in my life where it felt like God was a million miles away. You say, well, how many miles away is God? He's not any miles away. He's nice all the time. But there's been times, and you understand my expression, heaven's been brassed over, God's a million miles away, He's nowhere around,
But then I look back and I understand and I love that poem. At, you know, and Publishers Clearing House. What's that place? Home Interior made a fortune off that poem at the Footprints in the Sand. About the guy that looks back after coming through a difficult season of life and he looks back and he says, Lord, I trusted you and I believed you, and I look back and I only see one set of footprints in the sand. And the Lord says, that's because that's when I was harrying you. Those are my footprints. Those are not yours. And the Lord makes a way for us in the desert. He even when we don't realize it, even when we don't sense it, even when we don't feel it, He's working. Even when we don't see it, He's working. Even when we don't hear Him, He's working. God never sleeps. He never fails. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And even in the desert place, we find that God is there being a way maker in the desert places of our life. So the conclusion, again, is don't let the desert get you down. Don't let the desert get you down. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that your face is not burning. I'm not saying your feet are not blistered from the hot sand. I'm not saying that your throat is not parched. I'm not saying that that you're not wondering where your next drop of water is going to come from or your next meal is going to come from. I'm not saying any of those things are not going on in your life, but don't let the desert get you down, because the desert is not defining who you are in Christ Jesus. Jesus defines who you are. And in that desert place, that's the place He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you, but He's with you all the way. See, it's in the desert. Jesus, you know, when you come back to it, when you come back to the whole city, Jesus is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Jesus is the water that came out of the rock. Jesus is the manna that fell from heaven. Jesus is every provision that Israel ever needed while they were in that desert, or any other time as far as that. Jesus is every provision that we need when we're walking through the desert place. But it may not be easy. It may not be tasking or trying at times. But I find when our faith is tried with fire, when the heat has been applied, heat is one of the greatest forms of purification and refining that there is in the world. But it's in the desert and we're put to the heat. We're put to the test. We're parched. We're dried out. We're hot. We're burning. We have been seemingly burnt, like burnt with fire. It's then that God is developing. The desert is not pleasant, but the desert is beneficial. Everything in life that's beneficial for us may not be pleasant. You realize that pearls are in the moisture, natural pearls. You realize they're formed out of an irritation. It's an irritation, probably just a grain of sand that gets inside of that oyster shell, and that oyster begins to produce, if you would, chemicals or hormones, if you would, that surround that irritation, and that forms the pearl. And the pearl is even, we find even the Bible speaks the parable of the pearl with great price. You realize that right here in southern West Virginia and southwest Virginia, do you realize that our livelihood, or the greater part of livelihood of this area, do you realize that coal is formed under pressure? It may have taken millions and millions of years, according to the scientists, who knows, but regardless of the fact, coal is formed under pressure. That's how it's made. And how valuable it is to, in particular, us here in this region. Do you realize that at the most extreme pressure, going beyond coal, you realize diamonds are formed out of the most extreme pressure as the platelets of the earth begin to move and shape, and pressure is increased down through the recesses of the earth. out of that comes valuable things. And out of the pressure that you and I come through in life, there's valuable things to come forth in us. But it's not always pleasant how that happens. I'm not going to tell you it is. Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, John the Baptist, even Jesus experienced the desert. And it was in that desert that they found preparation. Jesus in particular, 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, fasting. And following that is when Jesus was tempted by Satan. And Jesus being tempted by Satan, if you would, constitutes every temptation you and I can ever face. There is nothing that you and I will ever deal with or ever face in life that Jesus did not face or deal with in some manner. But the preparation that Jesus, God made man, Jesus in the fleshly body, there is preparation that was made, but it was made in the desert. You and I, as we go through our Christian walk, don't let the desert get you down. Because God is preparing you and He's making you and He's working in your life to make something great. Paul, the chief apostle, he went to the seminary in the desert. Deserters prepared us, shaping us, forming us. Forming our lives, forming us as vessels of God. An old song. Some people actually did it as a gospel song. That old song said, "I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday." Some of y'all heard that. A lot of people were. But you know what? I don't know exactly where I'm at in all this process. I might not even made it to a lump of coal. But I know if the pressure comes along, the desert places come along, and I remain faithful to the Lord, I will be a diamond someday. Because it's in the desert place. And I know this is probably not what you wanted to hear today to make you feel good about your situation. We live in a time when everybody is in a make me happy circumstance. I'm sure after a week of walking in the desert, some of those Israelites were already. Why are we here? Why are we having to do this? We're better off back in Egypt. I'd rather have been a slave than here in this desert. Little did they know what God was developing. Wonder how many people in this room right now feel like you're in the desert.